I love our worship time. I love its simplicity. I love the songs that we sing. I love it because it's us, you know? It's like, well, this is us, you know? It's great. Praise to God is not a production. Praise is something that overflows from a heart of gratitude and thankfulness to the Lord. And what an interesting book for there to be one of the greatest doxologies, one of the greatest benedictions in the scriptures, Jude 25. Let's read that together. As we have closed our services in this entire series using this benediction, let me open this last message with it. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. In the course of this short epistle, Jude has written some necessary things for us to understand as the church. He has, to some degree, given us a great deal of unpleasant things that we need to know and to understand as the church. Jude 3 and 4 is a plea to contend earnestly for the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints. In verse 4, there's a warning about ungodly men who have crept in unnoticed and to be watchful. Jude 5 and 7, 5 through 7, is a reminder of God's righteous condemnation in times past. And 8 through 16 is a description of the depravity of ungodly people that are these who are trying to seep into the church. 17 through 23 is this counsel on how to keep from stumbling, as it were, and that we, as we are Christians and we have been redeemed, those who are the church, the real church, that God is the one who is maintaining and keeping and guarding you. And there's different things that God has for you than for them. All the condemnation that the false teachers get, you don't get. You get grace, and you get mercy, and you get love, and you get affection by the God who created you, that you sinned against, and then he still lavishes his love upon you because he has swept you up underneath the cross, and you are safe. So one might think that such unpleasant things should be ended right there at the positive, but you. But you got to know that when you start to talk about the grace of God for the Christian, that's not the end, but the very beginning. Because when we begin to see and hear of our common salvation, what Jude says in verse 1, I wanted to talk to you guys about this. Well, he gets around to it in a roundabout way. And then at the end, he says, Let's just take a moment here and let's praise the Lord. And so he says, now. And it's a clear distinction between everything that he said before and what he's about to say. Now. Okay, we got that done. You've heard all of that. You're warned. You understand, hopefully, because I'm reminding you again of those things that we're always talking about. Peter said essentially the same thing in 1 Peter, or 2 Peter, 2 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, thank you. 2 Peter, not 1 Peter, 2 Peter. So it's like almost identical. So you heard it before. I'm going to give it to you again. Now, something different. Now, let's just glory in our Redeemer. Now, to him who is able. Now, I have for us an outline that I want us to follow. So we'll try and follow it. You want to go ahead and throw that up there if you don't mind. And it's pretty simple. Because what this is a standard form. And a standard form of a doxology follows basically the same principle each time. And it's the person that you're talking about and the praise that goes with them. So when you look at this structure of the doxology here, you'll find just those two points. Who are we talking about? And what are we saying about this person? There's your doxology. Just to kind of help us understand, the word doxology means an expression of praise, specifically to God. So some examples, for instance, of doxologies would be like Romans 16, 25 through 27. Romans 16, 25 to 27. Now to him who is able to establish you. Does that sound familiar? Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to faith. So to God alone, wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. And so you have this expression of who are we talking about? Well, the one who is able to establish you, the one who is able to keep you from stumbling, the only wise God. We're talking about the Father. Let's be very clear. I want you to know that we call ourselves Christ-centered, but the reason why we're Christ-centered is because we're God-centered. And if you say that you're God-centered, you might, what does that mean, God-centered? So we're going to be very specific. We're going to say, we believe Jesus Christ is God to the glory of the Father by the working of the Spirit. So we believe that Jesus Christ is God. But we also are Trinitarian. And so we have to understand that the God... I'm just get ready because your mind is about to explode. All right. If it doesn't explode and you think you understand, then you're wrong. So that's okay. God is one being and three persons. Oh, yeah. So he's just three persons. No, he's one being and three persons. Each individual person is utterly, completely, totally, absolutely sovereign, divine, holy, just, and perfect, containing all of the divine attributes within and of themselves. They are co-existent, co-eternal, consubstantial, of the same substance. And so when we say Jesus is Lord, when we say Jesus is our God, we are not diminishing the Father or the Spirit. We're being very specific so as to elevate, to honor Jesus Christ as the one that the Father sent in the culmination of time to accomplish our salvation by his person and work. But understand that the whole universe is the Father, is Father-centric. The entire universe, the world, and everything within it is Father-centric. It is about the Father. It is the Father's decree that the Son accomplished. It is the Father's aim and goal and love that he had for his elect that Jesus Christ said, I will pay the ultimate sacrifice for your loved one, O Father. So here, this doxology is a doxology. It's an expression of praise to the person of the Father. And you read that. You can hear it. Easily. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ. Who is the Savior in that sentence? God the Father. God the Father is saving us through the Savior. I told you, you're going to blow your minds. I'm just saying. Trinity. Just saying. So God the Father is the Savior of the world because he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be the Savior of the world. You got me? Like, so Jesus is the Savior of the world. Amen. He's the Savior of the world to the glory of God the Father. What did Jesus say when he was here on the earth? He said, I come to do my Father's will. I speak only the words my Father gives me. Father, glorify me that I might glorify you. Jesus is Father-centric. This doxology is about the Father and his ability. Okay, I get this way sometimes, I'm sorry. I just don't want you to miss the nuance of the fact that we're talking about the very ability of the Father. What is he capable of doing? This is what we're praising him about right here. This is what Jude is praising him about. The person of the Father. What is his ability? He says, now to him who is able. Able for what? To keep you from stumbling. You have this entire book. All of it is focused around false teachers. Those people that we don't know are actually false teachers. They creep in. They're subtle. And you know, honestly, most of them don't know they're false teachers. They themselves believe they're doing service to God, but in all the while, they're actually bringing forth death. So you have this God who has not only sent his only begotten Son to accomplish a particular work in redemption to satisfy and appease the Father's wrath, you have a God who is able to keep every single person that has been redeemed by the Son. He can keep you from becoming one of these. He is able. You are not able. He is able. You can do nothing. You cannot keep yourself in the love of God. He says, keep yourself in the love of God in Jude. Doesn't he say that? Can you keep yourself? No. And so that turns our hearts when we read that and say, oh, stop. How am I going to do that? Don't worry. Keep reading. He says, now to him who is able to keep you. So you're not able. I'm able. I'll do it. I've got you. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Now the stumbling is not, it's not a simple peccadillo. It's not a sin here and there. It's when I fall to my face, when I go all the way down, when I'm done. I have fallen all the way. Hebrews 6 tells us that if there were those who were able to stumble all the way, those who are supposedly Christians, if they were really Christians and they stumbled all the way down, it would be impossible for them to be restored, because then you'd need a brand new sacrifice of Christ. And Jesus was, he was sacrificed once for all. So here is God. He has sent his son. He's bled and died. And you would think, you could possibly think, what if I'm one of these? These that Jude warns about. And you could possibly begin to wonder and question, well, what if I become one of these? Then the words of Christ would be true about me, that I would depart from us because I was not of us originally, and so maybe I'm not a Christian to begin with, and I don't know what's gonna happen to me. And this sounds much more dramatic because my voice is so bad right now. It sounds like I'm crying, and I'm not, but see, and that's real nice. I like that. But then you just keep reading. You just have to keep reading. Now, if you're fearful and fretful about your position, if you are truly one of these that is loved by God, then the Father is the one who keeps you. He keeps you from falling all the way down. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to be concerned. You don't have to be fretful. You don't have to be anxious about your salvation. You just have to realize that the Father is able. He is capable where you are incapable. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. This is who we're talking about. This is the reassuring part of the epistle. God's ability to keep us from stumbling was implied, actually, in the very beginning of Jude. Look at Jude 1. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother to the